Victoria Shepherd for WILL, and this is the Mid-American Gardener podcast, where we love to talk about anything connected to gardening in central Illinois. This is episode 17, and I have the pleasure of being able to sit down with one of our amazing Mid-American Gardener television panelists, John Bodensteiner. John took the University of Illinois Master Gardener class, the first offered in 1994 in Vermilion County. He is eager to talk about gardening, and particularly hostas. We love that he knows so much about hostas. He also has a Master Gardener radio show on WDAN Radio, and he became interested in gardening when he helped his grandfather pick raspberries and vegetables in his garden. He continues to learn more about plants each year, and when someone asks a question that he doesn't know, he has to find out the answer. The more you know, the more you don't know. Isn't that the case, John?
Oh, yeah.
Well, welcome to the Mid-American Gardener podcast.
Thank you
so much for coming in. You're from Vermilion County.
Right. I live in Bismarck. It's just outside of Bismarck, out in the country. It's a little town. I live between Bismarck and Danville.
So this is Vermilion County in Illinois, not Indiana,
correct? I'm originally from North Dakota, so when I told my family I was moving to Bismarck, they said, oh, good, you're moving back to North Dakota. And I said, no, this is Bismarck, Illinois.
Your knowledge of gardening is exponential, but you do have a particular niche, don't you?
I grew into this, so to speak. When we moved into our house in 1974, I had a clean slate. So I started out planting trees and shrubs. And now I've found out that I have planted in excess. I looked at, you can go up in the space and look down at your house. There is very little of my property. I have about 3 acres that you can see the ground at because there's so many trees.
Wow.
So that means I have a lot of shade, which I used to plant a lot of sun-loving flowers, but now I've had to go to shade-loving flowers, and that's the topic of our discussion today is the hostas.
So you got into the hostas because they like a little bit of shade.
They like anywhere from deep shade to dappled sun, which means that, if you get under a tree that is not really big, you can see if the leaves kind of move, you can see little bits of sunlight that hit the soil. That is what dappled sun and hostas will do quite well with that. They are coming out with some new hostas, one called Sun Power. And I do have it, and I've got it in a sunny location, and it is doing okay. It's a yellow hosta. It's a medium-sized hosta, but most, I'd say 95% or 99% hostas love shade.
Now, how many types of hosta do you have, John?
There are about 7,500 different varieties of hostas. I have 300. I'm friend with Dr. Liggett in Danville, and he has about as much shade, and he kind of got me into—he said, why don't you plant hostas? Well, I got addicted to hostas, and every place I went, I found a new one. He gave me some. I trade for some. With the 300 varieties, I probably have—I would say if the clumps, if you broke them all, I'd have well over 10,000 plants.
Oh, my gosh. So now you actually brought a little arrangement today of some of these hosta leaves. I would love to take a look and see if we can describe all the different colors that you have got here.
Well, the largest one is Empress Wu. This is that real big one right up here. And it, as you can see, it's ribbed, and it's the largest of all hostas in known right now, as far as the leaf size.
I mean, the size of these leaves is amazing, and they look so lush, and they have no holes or teeth marks in them that we get on all of our hostas.
Luckily, right now I have foxes in the area, and they keep the. I have any rabbits. I have very few squirrels, and even the deer are kind of elusive in my yard. And for that reason, my hostas have done very well for the last 2 or 3 years. We don't chase the foxes away, and as you can see, some of those. You know, there's one in there that is very, very small, and it is baby mouse ears.
But the leaves themselves on some of these are well over a foot.
Yeah, and these are called the giants, in the extra large or giants. The little baby mouse ears is called a mini. I also have one right next to that. I don't know if it's still there, but it's called Mighty Mouse. And it's got variegations in it. So it's got the yellow and the different.
There are so many different types here.
Yeah.
And there's a beautiful purple flower. Which and does this belong to?
That is from New Dawn, which is one. That's one of my newest hostas, probably one of the more expensive hostas that I bought. But in the spring, the whole leaf, the veins throughout the leaf turn red. So not only the petiole, which is the stem that comes up, or the scape, that's what you're looking at. That's the part that holds to the flower. It's also a deep, beautiful red. So and the flowers are kind of purplish too. Now, if you turn your thing around, you can see the other flowers here. They're a very light purple, almost white.
Yes.
That's from another variety of hosta.
Right.
That one is from the summoned substance.
Okay, so in this vase alone, John, how many different leaves and varieties did you bring in?
I think there's probably 25, so it's just a small sampling.
Just a small sampling. I think there are some very common varieties, aren't
there? Oh, yeah. And most of these are pretty well available throughout, you know, most of the garden centers. And so you could get, if you have a lot of shade and you really want to get going on it, and be prepared to open your checkbook, because some of them are more expensive, and so that's why I don't, you know, I trade, I get, you know.
Well, we also
and divide. You were talking about wanting to know how to divide.
Yes, because some of our hostas are in a place that they are on the side of the house. We're a white house. Gets really hot. This year, we did do better because last year you advised that we actually needed to water. We were new to the... So watering has definitely helped, but we would like to relocate them to somewhere else or even divide them because some of them are really quite big. So how easy is it to divide and transplant?
Hostas are very forgiving. When you try to transplant them, I would do it early spring before they really totally leaf out. You can kind of see the little sprouts coming up, and once they start to unfurl, it's almost too late. You want to get them before they actually those little points open up. And this spring, I took 6 plants that I had, like you have. They were in a sunny location. I had a tree there at one time. But it died, and so all of a sudden they were getting exposed to too much sun.
Right.
And so I dug them up, and they were so tightly woven. There was probably, well, the 6 plants that I dug up, I got almost 200 plants out of.
Wow.
So what I did, they were so tightly bound, I took my reciprocating saw. Now, the root ball was...
You do like your reciprocating saw,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, I do. the root ball on those hostas were probably 18 to 24 inches for each hosta plant, basically. But there is in that, when I say a plant, I'm saying a group of plants, because within that, there were hundreds of... If I would have taken the time to individually break everyone apart, I probably could have come up with 500 plants.
So now, okay, you said do this in early spring.
Early spring.
So as far as fall goes, what should you do with regards to your hostas? Do you cut them back? Do you just let them go?
I let them go unless I have had a disease.
Okay.
There are certain diseases that you have to kind of be careful of. There are some diseases that will kill the plants, and you kind of have to be careful not to ever put the plants back in that area for up to 5 years.
Now,
you also have to be careful of where you buy your plants. You may not want to get them at some of the big box stores. Some of them have been known to sell plants with the what they call the X virus. And it's you can kind of tell if they're out in if they're fully leafed because they have this mottled look. You know, we strive for having variegations and different things like that, but the X virus causes something that is quite distinctive. They all have that same characteristic. And so they're also anthracnose, and there's crown and petiole rot, and nematodes. Nematodes are little tiny, if you ever have gotten into, you're digging around your hostas, and you have some little tiny, they're microscopic worms. That's what nematodes are. And you get, you kind of break open a root, and this nematode is there. It can get up into it. And what it does, it blocks the xylem and phloem. They start to multiply. It's kind of like...
And what is the xylem and phloem?
The xylem and phloem is where the between the root and the leaves, it's the veins and arteries, so to speak, that transfer the water from that the roots mm-hmm. absorb to the leaves. And then the leaves send all the sugars and different things for storage that the photosynthesis has taken place in the leaves and sends that to the roots so that they can have enough energy to come back up in the next spring. So these little nematodes block those arteries, and pretty soon you'll start to notice like leaf scorch, which is probably what you're getting. That you probably don't have nematodes, but it shows kind of the same thing, at leaf scorch, where you get too much sun, not enough moisture, because that's basically what's happening. The leaf isn't getting any moisture from the roots because it's blocked all the veins.
Okay, so this year I've noticed one particular plant that the leaves are going, a lot of the leaves are turning yellow, mm-hmm. and they literally, I can lift them out. I mean, they are not holding into the ground at all.
That probably is more crown or petiole rot. And that can be, that's one of those diseases that you cannot cure normally. You'll want to get that hosta out of there. And what they say is what you should do is get the hosta out of there and do not put another hosta in there for five years. Because...
But could you put other plants
I had that in one of my areas, and I planted ferns. And the ferns are, another shade-loving plant. Mm-hmm. And you'd want to put heucheras or some other, ferns or something else there. But you do not want to plant a hosta. And you don't want to put that hosta in your compost pile. You want to destroy it. Get it away from your yard. Other than... hostas not liking to be under some very shallow trees. The tree is usually going to win out unless you have a watering system or something like that, because hostas like moisture, not excessive moisture. They don't like what we call wet feet, but they don't want to be dried out, or especially if they are going to have full sun for a couple hours, 3-4 hours a day. That's going, if they've got dry feet, they just don't have the moisture to pull up into those leaves. And you're going to see the leaf margins get scorched. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the, reasons that we see that some people don't like hostas, because they say, well, I just can't grow. They're always ugly. But if you give them shade, as you can see, I have very little leaf scorching.
And they are beautiful.
In mine, I've got a few that I didn't bring that have some leaf scorch.
I don't think we could have fitted 300 different varieties in here, John.
But as far as leaf shapes, as you can see there, there's linear, there's jigsaw, there's elliptical, there's ovate, there's heart-shaped, there's round, there's triangular. And then there's, the leaf is not only has the different shapes, but they've got the different leaf substance. And then we talk about the top of the leaf.
It goes on and on and on. So you have an amazing book.
Yeah, that's
there.
That's,
is that like a reference Bible?
It is. It is. It's the Hostapedia, and it lists 7,400 different types of hostas, and it shows pictures, and it weighs about 10 pounds.
And it weighs a ton.
Because it's all nice. It's a beautiful. It's one of those books that I couldn't do without as far as people asking me, what is this? What is that? Because after, unless I label them or know them, now there's the top 100 I probably know without looking underneath and saying, oh yeah, that's June. June is one of my favorite. Guardian Angel is another one that I love. Green Angel, Blue Angel, Summon Substance, Empress Wu, Guacamole. There's Baby Mouse Ears, Mighty Mouse, Blue Mouse Ears. So there's so many different types.
So many. So this book, The Hostapedia, an encyclopedia of hostas by Mark R. Zillis, or Zillis, it might be.
This is my, you know, this is a name and address book. This is where I have...
Don't tell us who your friends are, John.
No, this is where I have my hosta names. You know, like, this is my A hostas, you know, under the A, because I wanted to know. Because sometimes if I go shopping, I can't remember, do I have that? So I usually keep this in my truck, and that way, this is, I have... So if I see Blue Mammoth, do I have Blue Mammoth? Well, I go in, and yes, I do.
You know, that's actually a very good idea just for people with flowers and gardens in general. Have a little address book and put them down by their name
And then,
so that you can see if you have it.
And then I'm going to, I've just got this, this is a new one that I'm just updating, and I'm going to put where I have it in the yard. I'm going to draw a little picture of the, you know, like this.
Especially in the winter, that's very helpful, right?
Right.
You never know where it's going.
And if you want to know, if you're going to dig it up, when they first come up, you can't tell one from another hardly. Because so...
So maybe taking some photographs would be good.
Photographs
as well.
To tell, and then making a note in here. I've got this right next to the flagpole. I've got it in that garden. So I know very close to where it's coming up. Abba-dabba-doo. You know, people always... kidded me that I looked like Fred Flintstone. So I saw that and I said, I got to have that one.
Well, now you mentioned it, John.
So that was, you know, oh, and one of the other things, you were talking about moisture. How do you know when they're dry? I plant.
Yeah, I mean, how often do you water them?
And depending on your yard, you have to have a barometer or a rain gauge, so to speak, in the bed or in amongst the different beds in the yard. And what I plant is Ligularia. It is one of those plants that it does like shade also. And if it gets dry, it falls over. But if I see that going limp, I know my hostas need water.
So that's your barometer.
It's my barometer. So I keep that. I plant that in different areas of my yard. And that way I kind of know, you know, because you can go out and dig up. But, you know, if you see the, you know, how many times are you going to go out and test your yard? If you go out and walk to the mailbox and you see your Ligularia is flat, ding, 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 you got to water. And so that way I keep I don't get the scorch and things like that. So that way I keep them from getting, you know, if any time you put plants under stress, they are more prone to disease and pests and different things like that.
If in the fall, and you don't, you say leave them be, wouldn't it make sense to cut everything back to avoid?
What I do is, I should clarify that. I don't clean, I don't cut them. I let them freeze and dry out, and then I go rake them all up because then I've got... I've got a 50th of the weight and the volume because all the moisture has evaporated out. I just pick them up. They come loose because the plant has let go. So I'm not harming those petioles underneath the crowns because they've already froze off and they've already released the plants. So that's when I clean up. After Thanksgiving, you know, we usually or before, around Christmas, I'll take my rake out and just clean up my hosta beds.
What else can you tell us about hostas, John?
Hummingbirds love the flowers. They feed on them. So they're very good as far as nectar producers. So if you like hummingbirds, and who doesn't?
Everybody.
Don't cut those flower scapes off.
Even if they go all scraggly?
But once the flowers are dried off, then you can cut them off.
Okay.
But leave them there. But now, one thing, too.
Because I believe some people just don't like the flowers,
do they? if you cut them off, you're going to limit yourself in another area where if you let those seed pods mature, you can collect the seed pods and you may have a whole new variety of hostas because they may have cross-pollinated with another variety in your yard. And so I gather up all my seeds and put them in a tray and just sprinkle them, sprinkle all the seeds on there, cover them with a very light amount of soil. And then look for something that's completely different.
So there could be 7,501 varieties.
and that's another thing is the sports. I found today on Summon Substance a new sport. To make a new plant name in that has to keep it. Has to stay that color, and you have to verify. You take pictures and verify it. You keep that for 3 years, and then you can name a new one.
Theoretically, you can actually create a new variety and submit it to be included in a book.
I've got one that I've had for, this is the third year. It was a sport off of Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk.
From
Star Trek, yes.
And I was going to name my sport Mr. Spock. But somebody already has taken that, so I'm going to name it Dr. McCoy.
Are you able to tell that to us, or is someone going to nip you to the post?
If they do, I'll just pick another. I've got all kinds of different, varieties that. But I was a Trekkie.
Well, that's exciting.
I got to go out and have dinner with Leonard Nimoy when. So that's another whole story. But each year,
another episode.
And each year, Hosta Society names a hosta of the year. Baby mouse or blue mouse ears was 2008. Another way to do it is you can take the little in the spring if you're into tissue culturing, and the university is big into that.
And
right
what
here.
Is that?
That's where you take a small clipping of the sprout that's coming out, mm-hmm. and you cut it and you put it in auger, and you put tissue, you cut it all up and you put it in there, and then you kind of wait for the same type of thing where you do with your seeds. What did I create? Am I going to have a new variety?
Really?
And so you can produce, if you get into it, and you have to be super hygienic, and it takes a lot of work, but technically out of one hosta, with tissue culturing, you could make 500,000 hosta plants in 1 year.
I'm speechless.
They'd all be clones of the other, but I just find hostas and,
So John fell into hostas and now look at him.
Yeah, it's easy. If you have shade, they're just a nice segue into, and you can go in and walk amongst them and watch the breezes and...
Do your grandchildren know all about hostas
My granddaughter, the youngest one, Amelia, when we were walking, Grandpa, look, over there, there's a nice hosta.
Oh, John, before we go, if you were a hosta, which one would you be and why?
I would be June. That was the month I was born in, and I just love it.
That is fabulous. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Many thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us for another episode of the Mid-American Gardener podcast. Mid-American Gardener is a production of Illinois Public Media. This episode was produced and hosted by me, Victoria Shepherd. Executive producer was Lisa Brotz. Find us on the web at midamericangardener.org, where you can stream us as many times as you like. This and past episodes are also available through Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and the NPR One app. Please do subscribe and review and rate with abandon. Getting your feedback will help us improve what we're doing and give you information that will not just help, but we'll also entertain you. And if you have any gardening questions for future inclusion on either the TV show or podcast, email us at yourgarden@gmail.com, message us via Facebook, or call and leave us a voicemail at 217-300-8224. That's it for this week. I'll be back in a couple of weeks with another Gardening Whiz.